You came to gather the nations into the peace of God's kingdom. In the penitential rite, those words are our acknowledgement of the mystery of the incarnation. With those words, we speak to the reality of the historical Jesus. We know that Jesus was born some 2,000 years ago. There are some who don't believe that he was the Son of God. There are some who say it's impossible that a woman could conceive a child without having relations with man. You come in word and sacrament to strengthen us in holiness. With those words in the penitential rite, we recognize the mystery of the Word made flesh and of the gift of the Eucharist. There are some who don't believe that. There are some who would suggest that these words are just words. It's just a book that humans wrote and has no meaning for us. There are those who don't believe that what we do here confects ordinary bread and wine into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. You will come again in glory with salvation for your people. Those words of the penitential rite speak to the mystery of what is yet to come. We believe that Jesus will fulfill his promise, that he will come again to gather us all together to be in the kingdom of God. There are some who don't believe that. There are some who suggest that all this world, all this universe, is simply an accident, something that came from chaos. Something that will go on regardless of how we behave or what we do. Advent is a season of joyful expectation. In this season, we lead up to remembering the incarnation. We remember the mystery of the Word made flesh. We celebrate the reality that Jesus came to redeem us. Part of what goes into the challenge of believing that is lowered expectations. Sometimes what goes into the challenge is expectations that are too high. In the Hebrew scripture we read this morning from the book of Samuel, how God makes a promise to David that his kingdom will last forever. And David, feeling some remorse or some guilt, thinks to himself, the Ark of the Covenant, the Word of God, is being housed in a tent while I live in a house made of cedar. So he decides that it's important for the house where God is to live should be much grander. So he embarks on building a temple. Our Jewish brothers and sisters have too high of an expectation of the Messiah. And that's why they missed the coming of the Messiah. They're still waiting because their expectations are so high. And yet, they live in faithfulness to the promise of the covenant. And that's the essence of what each of us is being called to. I would suggest to you that the primary difference between this reading from the book of Samuel and what we believe as Catholic Christians is about where God resides. We build beautiful churches. We have an ornate tabernacle in which we store the hosts, in which we store the body of Christ. But even more importantly, we are temples of Christ. We are the dwelling place of God. And that is an ordinary and reasonable expectation. And I would suggest that sometimes it's easy for us to lose sight of that expectation, most especially when we buy into lies. Because the lies that we tell are normally lies that are meant to lower our expectations of ourselves. If you look at the news recently, the lie being perpetrated is that because of somebody's color of their skin or their abilities, whether it's a mental ability or a physical ability, or their sexual orientation, that those people are less. And that's a lie. We might think that because of something that's going on, that all police are corrupt and interested in abusing their power. That's a lie. We might believe that all politicians are only interested in themselves and not in public service. That's a lie. These lies are perpetrated in order to lower our expectations of ourselves. We have to believe God's promise that this word and this sacrament are meant to strengthen us in holiness. And if we believe in that, we are faced with the responsibility of living a life of holiness. And if we're living a holy life, then we're going to value the dignity of each and every human life. And that's challenging. Most especially for our enemies, for those people who don't believe what we believe. What are your expectations of yourself? How do you perceive yourself as an ark of the covenant, as a dwelling place for the word and the being of Christ? How do you reflect that to the world? That's the challenge in this penitential season. Now, we recognize with joy the Christmas celebration. It's a time when we gather as family and friends, and we celebrate, and we offer gifts to one another. It's a season that seems to change people. I would suggest to you that that change is the good change, because it's the change of high expectations from God, who always fulfills His promise. But even more importantly, high expectations of ourselves, so that going forward, we can make God known in a very real way through our own actions. That's not giving permission for people to behave badly. It's having the courage to challenge people to move away from the lie, to accept a mystery that we can't entirely understand. In today's gospel, we have the perfect example of Mary. Mary doesn't understand. And yet, she is not subject to any lie. She only remembers the promise. And that promise has already been fulfilled. That's why we're here. But if we only embrace the promise in this place, nothing is going to change outside of here. And that is what we're really called to. The Jewish people still await an expectation of a Messiah. We know that the Messiah has already come, has already conquered sin and death. But if we continue to buy into lies, we're going to miss out on the joy and peace that comes from living in that mystery, from living in that promise. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.